Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat, perek Chaf Gimel. In this perek, the Rambam concludes his discussion of activities which are forbidden midrabbanan, either as extensions of the melachot, or as gzerot, lest one come to perform one of the melachot. The main two melachot, which are the starting points for the Isurim in this perek, are Makbe Patish and Kotev. The last part of the perek discusses what food and possessions one may rescue in the event that a fire breaks out in his property during Shabbat. Halacha Aleph. Ha'osen nekev shehu asui lahachnis ulhotzi, kigo nekev shelul hatarnigolin, shehu asui lahachnis ha'ora ulhotzi ahevel, hareze chayav mishum Makbe Patish. Lefichach gazru al kol nekev, afilu haya asui lahutzi bilvad, o lahachnis bilvad, shema yavo lasot nekev shachayevin alav, umipnei ze ein nokvin bechavit nekev chadash, ve ein mosifin bo. The 27th melacha is makeh bepatish, striking the hammer blow, which completes the formation of a kli. One who makes a hole in some object, which is meant both to put things in and take things out, through it, is chayev for performing this melacha. An example is a hole in a chicken coop, through which light is meant to enter and stale air is meant to exit. Therefore, Chazal made a gzera against making any hole, even one meant for one-way traffic, lest he make a hole for which he is chayev. Therefore, one may not make a hole in a barrel, nor even expand an existing hole, even if this hole is meant only as an opening through which to pour wine out of the barrel. There is a problem with the beginning of this halacha, about the chicken coop, in that it seems to contradict the psak of the Rambam earlier, in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Dalet, that making a hole in a chicken coop just in order to let in light is a malacha d'oraita of boneh. From what the Rambam says here, this should only be asur midrabanan, and the relevant malacha should be makbe patish, not boneh. The Prima Gadim suggests that the two halachot relate to different types of chicken coops. One which is attached to the ground is subject to the malacha of boneh, just like a home, and any improvement at all is considered an act of boneh, even a hole meant only to let in light. But a self-standing chicken coop, detached from the ground, has the status of a kli, and is subject to makbe patish, and only a hole meant for passage in both directions is considered a genuine tikkun, which qualifies as a gzera of makbe patish. We'll encounter again later an action which the Rambam considers in this perek to be a rabbinic violation of makbe patish, but seems to mention earlier as a Torah violation of another malacha. Halacha bet. Nokvin migufa shel chavit lahutzim mena yayin, uvilvad sheikavena lemala, aval mitzida asur, mipnei shehu kimitaken kli. Shover adam et hachavit lechol mimena grogarot, uvilvad shelo yitkaven laasot kli. Even though we just said that making a one-way opening in a kli is asur midrabanan, the Rambam lists examples here where this is entirely permitted. One may make a hole in the cover of a barrel of wine in order to pour wine from it, not in the side of the barrel as is typically done. Similarly, he may break open a barrel of figs in order to take some out to eat. In both cases, the reason for the heter is that the opening is made in an abnormal way so that it doesn't constitute tikkun kli, improving the kli by making a proper opening. Based on this halacha, poskim debate what types of food packages may be opened on Shabbat. The Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata quotes the stringent opinion of the Chazon Ish and the more lenient opinion of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. According to the Chazon Ish, one may not open even a package which serves as a container only until the food inside is eaten, for example, a cereal box or a milk carton, which are typically thrown out once they are empty. However, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, only a container which one intends to use even after consuming its contents qualifies as a kli for this halacha. This typically isn't the case for cardboard boxes, but may be true for hard plastic and glass. Some are machmir about opening a metal bottle cap for the first time, as this breaks off the bottom of the cap and turns the cap itself into a reusable kli. Halacha Gimel adds that just as creating an opening is forbidden, so is stopping one up. Two specific ways of stopping up a hole in a barrel have come up already, which are usur based on other malachot. We saw in the last perek that using a piece of cloth can lead to schita, which is an act of malabein. In Halacha Yud Aleph of this perek, the Rambam reminds us of the isser of mimareach, smoothing a pliable substance, which we saw in Perek Yud Aleph, and he applies it to stopping up a hole in a barrel with soft wax. Halacha Gimel extends this isser to all other forms of stopping up a hole.
Halacha Dalit. Kol davar shu gmar melacha, chayav alav mishum makeh bepatish. Umipnei ze hagorer kolshu, o metaken kli, be'eze davar shitaken, chayav. Lefichach asur lehashmia kol shel shir b'shabbat, bein b'chlei shir kegon kinorot unvalim, bein b'sha'ar dvarim. Afilu lehakot be'etzba al hakarka, o al haluach, achat keneged achat kederech hameshorim, o lekarkesh et ha'egoz latinok, o lesachek lo bezug kedei shiyishtok, kol ze v'chayotze bo asur gzera shema yitaken klei shir. One is chayav for performing on Shabbat any action upon a kli which completes it as a functional kli. Therefore, Chazal made a gzera against playing a musical instrument on Shabbat, and even against tapping or snapping one's fingers to a fixed rhythm. The concern in these cases is that one will repair a musical instrument in order to use it, which would be a form of makbe patish midoraita. The Ramah includes in this prohibition knocking on a door using a kli specifically meant for that purpose, like a metal or wooden ring attached to the door. Halacha hei. Ein misapkin ve'ein merakdin ve'ein metapchin b'shabbat gzera shema yitaken klei shir ulesapek lachar yado mutar. Slapping the thigh, dancing, and clapping are all similarly forbidden, lest one repair a musical instrument to accompany these activities. Clapping in an abnormal way, like using the backs of the hands, is permitted. The Ramah points out that the custom nowadays is to clap and dance on Shabbat. He suggests, by way of explanation, that this gezeira no longer applies because most people don't know how to fix a musical instrument, and it is extremely rare for clapping and dancing to result in this violation. The Mishnah Berurah nonetheless frowns upon clapping and dancing on Shabbat, except when it serves the purpose of a mitzvah. Continuing in Halacha Hei, Ein shatin al pnei hamayim, gzera shema yitaken chavit shal shayatin, bereicha shebechatzer, mutar lashut ba, sheino ba lasot ba chavit shal shayatin, vehu shetiyeh la asafa mukefet shelo yeaker mimena hamayim, kedei sheyeh heker vehefresh ben hayam uveina. Another gzera enacted by Chazal based on Makbe Patish is that one may not swim in the sea on Shabbat, lest he come to fix a type of barrel which helps him float above the surface of the water, the ancient equivalent of a life vest. It is permitted to swim in a pool in one's courtyard if it has a boundary which sticks out of the water and clearly separates it from the sea. Based on this exception from the gzera, it would seem to be permitted to swim in a swimming pool on Shabbat, assuming the water is not heated, as we saw in the beginning of the last parak, that one may not immerse his entire body in heated water on Shabbat. Rav Avadya Yosef concludes that for Sfardim, this is fundamentally permitted, but not recommended, because swimming for pleasure or exercise has the character of a weekday activity, which detracts from the spirit of Shabbat as a day which should be devoted to spiritual pursuits. Ashkenazi sources record a minhag dating back to the time of the Rishonim not to bathe even in cold water on Shabbat, due to halachic concerns about wringing out one's hair and clothing after coming out of the water. We move to halacha vav, but we'll learn together only the last line. Ein shovrin et acheres ve'ein korin et haniyar mipnei shehu kimtaken kli. One may not break pottery, nor tear paper, to make these suitable for some use, because these are similar to fixing a kli. The problem with this psak is that the Rambam said earlier, in Perek Yud, that taking apart attached papers, niyarot uvukim, is a tolda of korea, tearing, for which one is chayiv midoraita. Here, he considers tearing paper to be a rabbinic violation of makabe patish. The Bir Halacha distinguishes between two different situations of tearing paper. When one intends to use both parts into which the paper is torn, this qualifies as a malacha doraita of korea. When only one part is meant to be used, and the tearing fixes and improves that part, then this is makbe patish. It can even qualify for the malacha doraita when the tikkun is very substantial, but more often is midrabanan when the tikkun is minor, and this is what the Rambam refers to here. Tearing toilet paper should be avoided on Shabbat, based on either korea, makbe patish, or mechatech, cutting to a fixed size, in this case tearing along the perforations. If one finds himself on Shabbat without pre-cut toilet paper, then based on the consideration of kavod habriot, human dignity, which overrides isurim derabanan, one may tear from a roll of toilet paper. According to the Shmir Shabbat Kehilchata, even in this case, one should tear in an unusual manner and rip in the middle of a sheet rather than along a perforation. We continue with the second half of Halacha Zayin. ואסור להדיח קערות ולפסים וחיוצא בהן, מפני שהוא כמתקן, אלא אם כן הדיחן לאכול בהן סעודה אחרת באותה שבת. אבל כלי שתייה, כגון כוסות וכיתונות, מותר להדיחן בכל עת, שאין קבע לשתייה ואין מציעים את המיטות בשבת כדי לישון עליהן למוצאי שבת, אבל מציעים מלילי שבת לשבת. One may not wash dishes and pots on Shabbat, as this too resembles tikkun kli in that it makes them suitable for use. But one may wash dishes and pots in order to use them again on the same Shabbat, and utensils used for drinking, like cups and pitchers, are so frequently used that one may wash them with no constraint at all. This heter, based on the intent to use the kalim again on Shabbat, seems strange, as none of the other examples we've seen in this perek of rabbinic forms of tikkun kli are permitted when the intent is for use on the same day. The Merkevet HaMishnah suggests that Chazal excluded this from the Gzera for the practical reason that people need to reuse dishes from one meal to the next. But the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam's entire explanation of this halacha. For the Ravid, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and most Achronim, the reason one may not wash dishes on Shabbat has nothing to do with Tikkun Kli, but rather is part of a general prohibition against preparing on Shabbat for the coming week. It is therefore immediately clear that washing dishes for use on the same day is permitted, as this isn't preparing for a weekday. The end of the halacha says that one may not make beds on Shabbat in preparation for sleeping on them on Motzei Shabbat, but he may make them on Shabbat night in order to sleep on them during Shabbat day. If the beds are in a central location in the home, visible to everyone inside, then the Magen Avraham allows making the beds so that the home can look respectable. Some infer that the Rambam would agree, as he writes here that the problem is to make the bed specifically in order to prepare it for sleeping on Motzei Shabbat. Halacha Chet. Asur lehadbil kelim tmeim b'shabbat, mipnei shehu kimtakein kli. Aval adam tamei mutar litbol, mipnei shenireh kimeiker, ve'ein mazin alav b'shabbat. Hamabil kelim b'shabbat, b'shogeg yishtamesh behen, b'meizid lo yishtamesh behen ad lemotzei Shabbat. In earlier times, for reasons related to Truma and Korbanot, people would sometimes need to bring their tamei eating utensils and clothes to the mikveh in order to purify them. One may not do this on Shabbat, as the act of purifying a kli resembles fixing it. One who does so inadvertently, that is, he didn't realize or forgot that it was forbidden, may use the kelim immediately, but one who does so with full awareness of the iser may not use them until Motzei Shabbat. In contrast to kelim, a person who is tameh may immerse himself in the mikveh. This doesn't resemble tikkun, because it looks like he is just cooling off. We've already mentioned the custom of Ashkenazim not to bathe even in cold water on Shabbat, but this applies only to bathing for pleasure or cleanliness, not to the use of the mikveh. Regarding the isser of immersing kelim tameim, the Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov gives an entirely different reason for this. Chazal don't want a person to hold onto kelim tameim for an extended period, planning to immerse them when Shabbat or Yom Tov comes around and he has more time, as he may end up using these kelim in an improper manner, like for eating truma, which must remain tahor. The nafka mina between these two explanations is the type of tevilat kelim that we do nowadays, namely immersing newly purchased food utensils made by non-Jews in order to be able to use them at all. On the one hand, this resembles fixing the kli, as it makes it suitable for use. So based on the Rambam's reason here in Hilchot Shabbat, this should be usser. On the other hand, there is nothing wrong with holding on to a new kli for a long time without using it, unlike his own kli tame, which he may use by mistake. And so the reason given by the Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov would not apply. The Shulchan Aruch rules that one may not do tefilat kelim on Shabbat. In a case where one forgot to do so before Shabbat and needs the kelim for Shabbat use, he may give the kelim as a gift to a non-Jew and then borrow them back from him. In Halacha Tet, the Rambam concludes the discussion of Makeh Bepatish with a halacha that one may not separate truma and masrot on Shabbat, as this makes the produce fit for consumption and thus resembles fixing it. We'll see shortly a second reason why this is prohibited on Shabbat. Skip now to Halacha Yud Bet. Kotev me'avot melachot, lefichach asur likchol bapuch v'chayotzei bo b'shabbat, mipnei shehu kechotev, v'asur lilvot ulehalvot, gzeira shema yichtov, v'chein asur liknot v'limkor v'liskor ulehaskir, shema yichtov. Lo yiskor adam po'alin b'shabbat, v'lo yomar l'chavero liskor lo po'alin, aval lishol ulehashil mutar, sho'el adam echavero kadei yayin v'chadei shemen, uvelad shelo yomar lo halveini. We jump to kotev, writing, the 34th melacha in the list from the beginning of Perek Zayin. It is asur midrabanan to apply colored powder around the eyes on Shabbat, as this resembles writing. This is a difficult line, as the Lecha Mishnah points out here, as it seems to contradict both the Gemara and the Rambam himself in the last perek, who wrote that all types of makeup are a rabbinic violation of tzoveya, coloring. This is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch as well. It's possible that the Rambam had a different girsa in the Gemara, which distinguishes eye coloring from other forms of makeup. Buying and selling are asur on Shabbat, as well as renting anything, renting out, hiring workers, and borrowing or lending money. These are collectively referred to as mekach u'memkar, and were forbidden by Chazal lest one come to write a document to accompany the transaction. Borrowing and lending objects is permitted, as these transactions are not typically accompanied by documentation, but one must be careful to use the language of she'ila rather than of halva'a, which implies a monetary loan. Note the difference between the two parts of this halacha. Eye coloring is forbidden because it is kichotev, a rabbinic form of the melacha itself, while the different forms of mekach u'memkar are a gezerah against kotev, not forms of kotev themselves. Halacha yud gimel. Echad hamocher bapeh o bimsira asur, bein bimoznaim, bein shlo bimoznaim, uchishem shasur lishkol, kach asur limnot vilimdod, bein bichli mida, bein bayad, bein bachevel. It is forbidden to sell, whether by verbal statement or by just handing over the object being sold. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that even if one pays for an object before Shabbat, he may not take it on Shabbat, as the act of taking, meshicha, is an integral part of the kinyan. Poskim include giving gifts in this gezerah. And so whenever one plans to give a gift on Shabbat, like a shul presenting a gift to a bar mitzvah boy, the formal transfer of ownership should be done before Shabbat. This can be done via a third party using the halachic mechanism of zechiyah. The gezerah also includes weighing, as well as other forms of measuring usually done as part of a sale. Nowadays, use of a measuring tape and measuring cups are usur on Shabbat for this reason, though the Rama allows one to use a measuring cup if he doesn't fill it based on the markings. We'll see in the next parak that measuring for a mitzvah purpose is permitted on Shabbat. Halacha yudalid. Ein danin b'Shabbat, v'lo cholzin, v'lo miyabmin, v'lo mekadshin, gzera shema yichtov, v'ein makdishin, v'lo marichin, v'lo macharimin, mipnei shehu kemekach u'memkar, v'ein magbihin, truma u'masrot, sheze dome l'makdish otan perot shehifrish, v'od mipnei shehu kimtaken otan b'Shabbat, v'ein ma'asrin et habehima, gzera shema yirshom basikra, ומקדיש אדם פסחו בשבת וחגיגתו ביום טוב שזו מצוות היום היא. This halacha begins with a list of several more activities which are forbidden because they too may lead to writing. One may not judge a case in Beit Din on Shabbat, nor may one marry or perform yibum or chalitza on Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch adds that divorce is prohibited on Shabbat, except in a time-sensitive case of one who is close to death and has no children and wishes to divorce his wife so that she will not require yibum upon his passing. One may not be makdish, that is, consecrate any object to hekdesh on Shabbat, as this represents a transfer of ownership, similar to mekach u'memkar, with the exception of a sacrifice to be offered that day, like a korban pesach on Erev Pesach. We already saw that separating truma and maser is forbidden as a form of tikkun, and the Rambam adds here that a second reason is that separating the truma and maser is like being makdish them. Halacha Tetvav adds that if one does any form of mekach u'memkar or hekdesh on Shabbat in violation of this gezerah, whether intentionally or not, the act is valid and the kinyan takes effect. Specifically, if one separates truma and maser, then the remaining produce is no longer tevel. We'll see a halachic ramification of this in Perek Hafei. However, he may eat this produce on Shabbat only if the separating was done b'shogeg, meaning he forgot or didn't know that this is prohibited on Shabbat. As we say at the end of Bameh Madlikin, during the Bein Hashmashot period at the start of Shabbat, one may not separate truma and maser in general, but may do so from demai, produce purchased from an Am Haaretz, whose status as tevel is in doubt. We'll learn more in the next parak about the permission to perform certain malachot derabanan during Bein Hashmashot. Halacha Yud Zayin. Asur lehafis v'lischok b'kuvia b'shabbat, mipnei shehu kemekach u'memkar. Mumefis adam im banav uvnei beito al mana gedola k'neged mana ktana, mipnei she'ein makbidin. אסור לחשב חשבונות שהוא צריך להם בשבת, בין שעבר, בין שעתיד להיות. גזירה שמה יכתוב. לפיכך, חשבונות שאין בהן צורך, מותר לחשבן. Two additional prohibited activities are drawing a lottery, as this is similar to Mekach HaMemkar, and performing even in one's mind calculations in which he has a material interest, like the amount of money he needs to spend on something, as this too may lead to writing. One is allowed to calculate amounts which are no longer relevant, like how much he spent last year on a wedding. But the Rambam calls this Sicha Betela, which, as we'll see in the next perek, one should not engage in excessively on Shabbat. The Rambam permits drawing lots between members of a family to determine who gets which portion of food, even when the portions are of different sizes, though the Shulchan Aruch permits this only when the portions are of the same size, and the lottery is done just for fun or to avoid petty bickering between family members. Halacha Yotet. Asur likrot b'shitrei hadyotot b'shabbat, shelo yeh kechol v'yavo limchok. Mone adam et orchav v'et parperotav mipiv, aval lo min haktav, kedei shelo yikra b'shitrei hadyotot. Lefichach, im hayu ha-shemot chakukin al ha-tavla o al ha-kotel, mutar likrotan, mipnei sheino mitchalef b'shtar. One may not read shtarei hedyotot, mundane documents, on Shabbat, lest he come to erase parts of them in violation of the malacha of mochek. It isn't clear what reading materials are included in this category, and there is a wide range of opinions among poskim. The Rambam proceeds to forbid reading a list of guests or a menu for a meal from a written page, as opposed to from an engraved tablet, which is permitted, as these are similar to shtarei hedyotot. The Shulchan Aruch includes in this category all documents which contain calculations, as well as all correspondence. But he quotes also the opinion of some Rishonim who include different forms of secular literature, and later poskim debate whether this refers only to works which are religiously or morally problematic, or to anything which lacks Torah content, like newspapers and modern literature. The general custom, frowned upon by some poskim, is to be lenient about newspapers printed before Shabbat, as long as one is careful not to read advertisements or anything business-related. This applies as well to weekly Torah newsletters available every Shabbat in Shul, which unfortunately are often full of advertisements and monetary matters, which pose a problem both as shtarei hedyotot and as inappropriate reading matter for Shul in general. Regarding pleasure reading, poskim emphasize the importance of devoting Shabbat to Talmud Torah, but permit occasional reading of other works, especially books of Jewish or general history, which can increase one's Yirat Shamayim. An introduction to the remainder of the perek. We learned back in Perek Yud Bet that putting out a fire is forbidden on Shabbat when the fire poses no danger to human life, no matter how much property will be destroyed as the fire spreads. We also learned that modern poskim agree that in the modern context, this halacha almost never applies, and all fires in danger of spreading may and must be put out as soon as possible. Therefore, the remaining halachot of our perek, which discuss what may be rescued from a major fire and how this may be done, are no longer relevant today. We will read and explain halacha chath, which expresses the main point, and afterwards end by summarizing the major points from the rest of the perek. Nafla dleika b'chatzer b'shabbat, eino matzil kol ma sheyesh b'chatzer l'chatzer acheret shebeoto hamavoy, af al pi she'ervu, gzeira shema yichabeh hadleika kedei sheyatzil, mipnei she'adam ba'hul al mamono, lefichach gazru shelo yatzil el mazon shu tzarich lo leota shabbat, v'chelim shetzarich lishtamesh behen b'shabbat, uvgadim sheyachol lelbosh, shenimtza mityayesh min hakol, v'eino ba lidei kibuy, v'im lo ervu, af mizono v'chelav eino matzil. If a fire breaks out in one's courtyard on Shabbat, he may not save his possessions by moving them to another courtyard in the same mavoi, even if there is an eruv chatzirot between the two courtyards. Even though carrying from one chatzir to another when there is an eruv is generally permitted, that's one of the reasons for the eruv, Chazal made a special gezeira in the case of a fire, because one's anxiety to save as many of his possessions as possible may lead him to extinguish the flames in his efforts to do so. Therefore, he may only rescue, by bringing to another courtyard, the food and utensils he needs for that Shabbat, assuming there is an eruv between the courtyards, as well as whatever clothes he is able to wear. In this manner, he gives up on all his other possessions, and he will not come to extinguish the flames. Regarding food, he may save, depending on the time of day, as much as necessary for the remaining 1, 2, or 3 meals of Shabbat. Once he begins to fill some kli with food that he needs for the remaining meals, he may fill that kli to capacity, even if this ends up being more food than he needs. He may call out to neighbors to save this amount of food for themselves, in which case anyone who does so may keep the food for himself, as the owner gave up on it. If a neighbor who saves food chooses to return it to the owner, then the owner may pay him for his work. This isn't considered Schar Shabbat because the neighbor did nothing forbidden on Shabbat, only moving food between courtyards, which made an Eruv together. As for clothing, the owner may save as much as he is able to wear on his body, and here too he can call to neighbors to do the same, and everyone may keep whatever he is able to rescue. There is one type of item which Chazal allowed the owner to rescue by moving it to another chatzer even if there is no Eruv, and that category is Kitvei HaKodesh, including mezuzot and tefillin. Even rescuing these, however, may only be done if the mavoi has the usual structure we learned in Perek Yud Zayin to allow carrying, meaning three walls, together with a lechi or a korah. This applies even to Kitvei HaKodesh, which don't have the full kedusha of Kitvei HaKodesh, like if they are written in red ink, as long as they are written in Hebrew and in the usual font of Ktav Ashuri. Even a Sefer Torah, most of which is erased, may be rescued, as long as there are complete words containing a total of 85 letters or more, or names of Hashem which are fully intact. The covering of a Sefer Torah may be saved together with it, and similarly a tefillin bag may be saved with a tefillin, even if these have money inside. The reason for the shiur of 85 letters is that this is the number of letters in the paragraph of Vayhi Binso Aharon in Parshat Balotcha, which according to the Gemara in Shabbat is considered its own Sefer because of the inverted letter Nun at each end. Therefore, this is the minimal size of a Sefer of Kitvei HaKodesh, which may be rescued on Shabbat.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.